crazy ass and she said, when's your whiskers gonna go bye bye? I said, I don't know, you know what you said? Yeah. Thank you, Mom.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome everyone to Jenkins Church. Do we have any first time visitors in the section to my left? Anyone here for the first time this morning? Glad to have you here this morning. Welcome. Anyone else first time visitors in this section to my left? All right, how about in the middle section here? Anybody as first time visitor? All right, and the section to my right, any first time visitors this morning? All right, then everybody else is acquainted. At this time, I would ask you to register your attendance. They'll be passing out pads if they're not already in the pews, and write down all your vital statistics and pass them down to your neighbor in the pew. And now we are going to go over our announcements. There are several activities taking place. Spring is always a busy time for the church. Is there any additions or updates that need to be brought to our attention this morning on announcements? Yes.
Registration forms, Rhett. Usually, Joyce Alvor picks them up after the first service, and then they get redistributed. She wasn't here this morning for the first service, so they didn't get picked up. So if you will, put the time on the one that you... We just try to keep up with who's here. Like if you've been absent 10 Sundays, we probably come and check up on you or something like that. So
if you help us with the time there.
Do we have any other announcements this morning that be brought to our attention?
I'd like to make two. Sonia was at the early service this morning, and she's calling it Missions Marketplace. I think that's the first weekend in June. The 4th of June. All the proceeds from that will go to Missions Outreach by the Missions Committee. And then June the 24th and 25th, we're going to have a yard sale here at the church for the Columbia trip in September. Right now we have three from our church going on that mission trip. It's going to run about $1,300 each, and we've got two maybes. So there could be as many as five people to go on that trip from our church. We're hoping to raise all the money we need from that yard sale, but we can't do that unless we have donated items. So please, if you have anything you'd like to donate for that yard sale, let me or Tracy or Kelly know. We'll get picked up. Got to pick some stuff up today, as a matter of fact. So help us out.
Anyone else? Any other announcements? If not, I'd ask you to continue to read what's in your bulletin. There's lots of activities going on. Keep yourself updated. Now, at this time, we're going to go to our prayer concerns. There's lots of folks on the prayer list. I'm sure we probably have some updates and some additions. So any prayer concerns or prayers of praise this morning? Yes.
Family of Ralph Hastings, okay. Friend of ours from Fayetteville. He passed away Friday from cancer.
Ralph Hastings. Okay. Anyone else this morning?
Mr. Jim Temples had a spot removed or a cancer removed from his face or jaw Friday, I believe, and he's recuperating at home, so let him get his caught up in that situation.
Absolutely. Anyone else? Any other prayer concerns or prayers of praise?
My mom, Ellen Crowther, she's still wrestling with shingles and getting rather discouraged.
Need y'all helping yet?
Yeah.
Anyone else? Yes.
I just wanted to just give thanks to everyone who prayed about us getting out of our house, and we did. We have nowhere to go at this point, but that's okay. We moved in with Mother officially on Friday. So y'all really just keep her in your prayers.
Well, he's got a plan. He just don't know it right now. It's all right. Anybody else this morning? Any other prayer? If not, I'd ask you to pray for these that have been added this morning. And for those who have added, if you'll write down their names on a little card, and when the collection plate's passed, that way we get the correct spellings. And pray for them as often as possible, especially the ones that have been on here for a while. If you've ever seen a miracle, it's because somebody prayed. Just remember that. We're going to prepare ourselves this morning because we are getting ready for worship. And if you would bow your heads for a moment of silence, please. Amen. Morning is printed in the left-hand side of your bulletin, and it is responsive if you'd follow along with me. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship.
Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Let's all stand, turning our hymnals to hymn 495. Heaven Came Down. Jesus, my Savior, my man. Oh, what a
Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. Lord, we remember when initially Jesus came to us coming from heaven. Father, we read about it in the Christmas story. But Father, when he came personally to us, Lord, frightening, confusing, but our souls filled with glory. Thank you. Thank you for coming to redeem us. Lord, thank you for this service through which we can remember the redemption that you provide through Jesus Christ. Lord, as we come today, we come to the table of our Lord as a special way of remembering. Thank you for it. Thank you for calling us, Lord, from death to life, darkness to light, from sin to salvation, from lostness to eternity in your kingdom. Lord, we pray your blessings upon this hour, and we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Now our statement of faith, the Apostles' Creed, if you join me in unison, it's in the back of your hymnal at number 716, where it's on the wall. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
To hymn 349, and let's sing 1, 3, and 5. Trust and obey.
When we are in your glory, O my God. hymn made me think of something, and I do have one more prayer request. Next weekend, our family's going to North Carolina because my mother's first grandchild is graduating from nursing school. And we're all very, very proud of Jessica because she's put herself through nursing school with scholarships that she did all the research on, because my sister's a single parent. And Jessica's dad is the one who committed suicide several months ago. She's a very lovely young girl. She's the valedictorian of her nursing school class. She'll be an excellent nurse. But what I would like for you all to pray is, and I truly believe this is going to happen, I think God has put her in the nursing field to bring her back to Him. Because she, the only reason she's going to the baccalaureate service is because grandmother said, oh, you have to go. But she didn't want to go because it was in a church. She doesn't want to have anything to do with the church or, you know, anything at all. And I feel like in the field that she's chosen, she's going to witness miracles daily. And it's going to reach her, and she is going to realize that she is not the cause of those miracles. So her name is Jessica Rozier. For right now, she's, I think, going to get married to a nice young man that will probably help the process along. But anyway, you know, if you would pray for her, I would appreciate it, because she's got a real gift, and I know it will only be enhanced once she reconnects with our Heavenly Father. And I'd like to sing for you today one of my most favorite hymns, particularly at communion time. And I'm singing it a cappella because it's a spiritual, and it originally was sung that way in the field. Let us break bread together. Let us break bread together on our knees. Let us break bread together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, O Lord, have mercy on me. Let us drink wine together on our knees. Let us drink wine together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, O Lord, have mercy on me. Let us praise God together on our knees. Let us praise God together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, O Lord, have mercy on me.
It is children's time this morning. The boys and girls will come on down to be with Miss Andrea. And remember, there is no children's church today, so you'll have to stay here in the sanctuary with Mom and Dad.
Well, at our house, we're getting ready. for a wedding at our house in June. And yesterday, the bride and I went to Miss Fast, and we had more fun picking out flowers. We've been doing a lot of landscaping, and you know, we thought yesterday was pretty cold, but we thought, you know, it was going to be okay to go ahead and put the flowers out, and I think we're okay. Miss Fast is here, I think we're okay. But anyway, we got home, and Kevin and I were so excited, we decided we just knew exactly how we wanted to do these flowers. You know, we went and sat them everywhere. We were waiting for Larry and James to get back and her fiance to get there, you know. All more hands the better to get all this done. Well, when James got there, and my son-in-law, James has worked in landscaping before, and I said, so James, what do you think? And I can tell, you know, he said, oh, it's okay. And I thought, no, it's not. And I said, James, what do you think we ought to do? And that's all I had to say. You know, he went ahead and he totally rearranged everything Kevin and I had done as far as putting the plants where they needed to go. But you know, that was okay, because we need to know that it really doesn't matter how things get done as long as we work together, because love and the love of Christ is what brings us together in perfect harmony. If we can get ourselves out of the way and let others use their talents and let us realize that there are people that have talents that are different than ours, and it all turned out beautiful, if it didn't matter who was in charge, and that's really tough in our house because we've got a lot of strong personalities, and a lot of people that are in charge, but Lars is in charge. But anyway, James got us all straightened out, we got it all done, and it looked absolutely beautiful. But just remember, and you know, Bible tells us this, that as long as there's love among us, and we're talking about the love of God, then we can accomplish a lot of things. It doesn't matter who gets the credit, because it all should be to the glory of God. So remember that. Always ask Him to go along with you in everything you're doing. He's there anyway. But sometimes we forget to ask Him to go along with us in the spirit of love.
Invite John, Teresa, Jamie, Charles, Pete, and Vicki to assist at the table this morning. We're going to talk about a covenant in the sermon this morning. A covenant with God from the Old Testament. We also have that same covenant we are reminded of it in the New Testament. We look to this morning the Gospel according to Mark, the 14th chapter, and beginning with verse 17. In the evening, he cometh with the 12, speaking of Jesus. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful and say unto him one by one, Is it I? And another said, It is I. And he answered and said unto them, It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread, and blessed and broke it, and gave to them and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said unto them, This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day I drink it new in the kingdom of God. The word testament is used in the King James Version. Other versions use the word covenant. This is the Lord's table. We make no claim over it as Deacon's Church or the Cumberland Presbyterian Church. This is for Christians, for believers in Jesus, people who trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior. He established this supper for us that we might remember His sacrifice for us and our relationship with Him. Thus, you're invited to eat and to drink from this table if you're a believer. You don't have to be a member of this particular congregation or even this particular denomination. This is for believers of all variety. Let us offer thanks. Lord God, we thank you for bread and for this bread. And Lord, we read in your word that when you instituted this meal, that you told those disciples that which you passed to them was your body. Lord, we ask you to bless this bread that through it we can experience your broken body for us. Thank you that you would give of yourself for our salvation. In Christ's name, your holy name. Amen. Please eat, remembering His body broken for you. The cup, the fruit of the vine, representing Christ's shed blood. As one gospel says, shed for the remission of sin. Lord, bless this cup. It represents your blood, shed for us. Make it a reminder in each of our lives this day. Through Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. Please drink remembering the shed blood. Please serve the people. Please eat and drink, remembering the broken body, the shed blood. Thank you.
It's now time for the presentation of our tithes, offerings, and gifts. Our offertory sentence this morning is taken from the 54th Psalm, verse 4. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. If the ushers would please come forward.
The book of Joshua, Joshua 24, verses 14 through 28. This is Joshua speaking to the Israelites as they are about to enter the promised land, having conquered the people before them. And Joshua says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites, who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because He is our God. Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, He will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after He has been good to you." But the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord." "Yes, we are witnesses," they replied. "Now then," said Joshua, "throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord our God and obey Him." On that day Joshua made a covenant for the people, and there at Shechem he drew up for them decrees and laws, and Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law of God. Then he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak near the holy place of the Lord. "See," he said to all the people, "this stone shall be a witness against us. It has heard all the words the Lord has said to us. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to your God." Then Joshua sent the people away, each to his own inheritance. The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.
Covenant. A covenant with God. That's what we are thinking about this morning, or I hope that you will join me in thinking about and considering. We look to the book of Joshua to see an Old Testament covenant experience with God, which I trust that it speaks to us concerning our covenant experience with God through Jesus Christ. Covenant? What are we talking about? Think of a covenant, if you will, as a binding agreement made by two or more persons or parties. A compact, if you will, and not that little round thing about that thick that women carry in their purse. That is packed with face powder. A compact, an agreement. Like the Mayflower compact. They made an agreement before they got off of the Mayflower. Those pilgrims did. A contract, if you will. A wedding ceremony. I attended a wedding ceremony last evening. I was the officiant. I performed the ceremony, or conducted a wedding, however you say it. We often say, "I married so and so," and people say, "Huh? Thought you had already were married." That wedding ceremony, a phrase in it speaks of the vow and the covenant made between the husband and the wife. So in general, if you will, think of a covenant. More particular, if you will, think about God's promises made to man. Promises recorded in the Old Testament and continued in the New Testament. And our response, our people's response to those promises through the centuries. One was, "I will be your God." A promise from God. "And you will be my people." One expression of that covenant, "I will bless you, and you will be a blessing to those around you." Pass it on. Share it. Share your blessing. specifically. I don't know which comes first, particularly or specifically. But specifically, if we will. We started in general, and then we got particular, and now we get real specific. Specifically, allow us, allow yourself to see the people of the nation Israel. They became a nation of sorts. See them in a renewal of a covenant, or the covenant with God. Dr. Bill Ramsey of Bethel College, now retired, writer of books for the Presbyterian denominations, plural, wrote a Bible studies that we've been using on Wednesday evening, and whether you do it or not, for the previous four Sundays, not counting last Sunday, I use his Bible studies maybe as a kickoff for the sermon. Dr. Ramsey reminds us concerning the Israelites in his Bible studies that the promised land was now the property of the Israelites. It was theirs. It was now a reality rather than a dream. It had been a dream for some 40 years. They had been traveling from Egypt to Israel. And along the way, those 40 years, I'm sure they had in their mind, won't we ever get there? Won't we ever get there? And I'm sure the children said, are we there yet? How much longer? But where we find ourselves in Joshua 24, they're there. They're in the promised land. They have inherited the promise. The book of Joshua, go back to the first chapter 2 weeks ago. We looked at that. We've been going from Egypt to Israel for, what, 6 weeks now. Last week, we took a detour and went to South America with a guest speaker. Now we're back going where we're inhabiting and living in Israel now, or it was called Canaan when they got there. But the book of Joshua begins with God's promise of that land. Moses has died. He had led them for 40 years. Moses died. Joshua took over. He was the selected leader. He didn't do it by force. He was the one rightfully under God's blessings took over. So we see the book of Joshua stating the promise early on that they will inhabit the land. But it didn't start with Joshua in the first chapter. We go back. You can go back to when Moses was called from the backside of nowhere, from the Mount Sinai, where he was tending to his father-in-law's sheep. He had escaped there from Egypt to escape a murder trial. He was guilty of murder. They were about to incarcerate him. Out of the town he went. But God called him from him watching the sheep and sent him back to Egypt. But the promise that he would lead the people, Moses would be the leader and God would lead them to the land that had been given to them way back in the person of Abraham. So we go back and back. So, we see Joshua dealing with the promise of God. We go back from that and you see Moses dealing with the promise of God. But go back before that, you see Abraham receiving the promise of God. The promise of this land. Abraham had settled it. A famine came 2 generations later. The families moved to Egypt to survive. 400 plus years later, Moses led them out. Then we get to Joshua 24. And they are in the land. They have crossed the Jordan River. They have taken Jericho, they have taken Ai, and they have had many battles from chapter 6 to chapter 23, I guess. Much has happened. They're there. They're at Shechem. And Joshua 24 is a time of celebration. Time of celebration of God keeping His promise. God has blessed us. Let's celebrate. Yes, they had come from Egypt. Now they were ready in this new land to build a nation. They were ready to build a nation. Their government was fragmented, to say the least. You can find that as you read the next book in the Bible, the book of Judges. But they're here. They've got to get things together. I wonder if there is a correlation between the Israelites building the nation that they have in the land that they have inherited, and our building up, or doing our part in building up a portion of the kingdom of God here at Jenkins Church. Do you follow? Can we relate their building a nation, the Israelites building the nation, to our building the kingdom here at Jenkins Church, or our portion of the kingdom that God has challenged us and does challenge us to build? The promise having been fulfilled, these people in chapter 24 are living in what so recently had been their future. In other words, their future had arrived. Their future of a few days ago was this day their present. They were in the land to which God had been leading them. And then that's when things really get exciting, is it not? As they're in this land, Joshua gathers the people together to renew the covenant with God. Isn't it always good to renew our covenant? Is that one thing that we do when we celebrate the communion, the Lord's Supper? We remember again what He has done for us. We remember again that we have been redeemed through the blood of the Lamb, that He gave His body to pay for our sins. He gave His blood to wash away our sins. And we come and eat and drink from His table. Is that not a renewal of our commitment to the Lord? Old days, mid-century of last century, the 50s, I remember, and some remember before then, not many though, revivals in the rural church. John was there. How many did you sit through, John? How many did you enjoy? Inviting a lot of them. Invite a guest preacher in. Outstanding singing. We would sing and rejoice. We would have church. We would have an experience. And it was always, and I grew up thinking the only time you could commit your life to the Lord, the only time you could get saved or rededicate yourself, was during the revival time. Now, where I got that message, I don't know, but that was the great emphasis. Jim, you were there, a few miles away. A renewal time calls for rededication, calls for new commitments, but also calls for salvation experiences, people to trust the Lord as their Savior. And hopefully, I still hope, we don't emphasize it in words, but in somewhere in the back of my mind, I hope every time that we sing an invitation hymn in this church or wherever I'm preaching, I hope that that is a time, no matter how weak the sermon has been or what, but that we recommit ourselves to the Lord, or how strong the sermon has been. Okay?
It's always good to review and renew. Review what God has done for us and is doing for us, and then renew our commitment to Him, our covenant with Him, a covenant renewal. So Joshua brings the people together and he reviews this sacred history, the history of God dealing with these people, especially since leaving Egypt. He goes back to Abraham himself, though. I keep going back to Abraham. He goes back to Abraham himself. And then he talks about Isaac. That's Abraham's son. You knew that. And then he talks about Jacob and God dealing with Jacob, Isaac's son. And then there's a 400-year gap there, but he talks about Moses. And he talks about Aaron, Moses' brother. And then he talks about the trip through the desert, 40 years. Why did it take them so long? Because they were such a stubborn people. God would have got them there much quicker if it had not been so stubborn, but we wouldn't have such an interesting story to read today. Wouldn't have as much preaching material, would we? He got them through the desert, and now they're into the land. And that story of them crossing the Jordan River, we've emphasized in my world that I circle in, preached in, we've emphasized the turning back of the water of the Red Sea. He also turned back the water of the Jordan River. One preacher was saying that at his ordination service, though, they were questioning him, and the people got in an argument. It was one of those other Presbyterian churches. Cumberland would never have done this, I know, you know. Oh, they wouldn't have done this. But they even got in a disagreement over when they started over the Jordan River, when did the waters part? That was one of his testimonies. Did the waters part when they first put their feet down, or when the priest got out there? When did the waters part of the Jordan River? But that's an aside, if you will. The story that Joshua relived was the story of getting them through the Jordan River. They had been there, into the land. And as he gets there, here's where he reviews the history and he challenges the people. He challenges this people. Now, he didn't want them to depend on the relationship that their ancestors has had to God. Though he reminds them of their ancestors' relationship to God, he challenges this particular generation. These there before him present, he challenges them to ratify, if you will, or to renew the covenant in their own day. The ancient covenant that had been given back with Abraham or before Abraham to ratify their covenant with God. Because they needed to know that God was with them. They needed to know, because at this point, this is when the real work had begun. Now, at this point, they had to live as God's people. You know, as long as you're on the journey, it's one attitude, isn't it? We've got something to look forward to. We got new experiences every day, new landscapes to go through. On the journey, it's one situation. But when you arrive and settle down, it's a little different, isn't it? It's a lot different, isn't it? Then they needed to live as God people. They had been becoming. They had been traveling. They had been coming to something. But now that they were there, they were in a position to be. Some years ago, and I preached a sermon about coming to Christ, or becoming a Christian and being a Christian. You know, it's real exciting to become a Christian, and it's exciting to be a Christian, but sometimes it gets tough being the Christian in a non-Christian community. or an unchristian society, right? When you have to live every day or called upon to live every day as a Christian, and when the excitement of that meeting Jesus experience has subsided and left us. So they were at the point now. They needed a covenant renewal because it was no longer becoming, it was being. Joshua urged them to make this covenant personal. And it's what we need, is a personal relationship with God, a personal covenant. Make this covenant their covenant, not something that their grandpappy did, which was important for grandpappy, and he passed it on, but they couldn't depend on his relationship with God or grandmama's relationship with God. They needed a relationship with God. Make it their own. So there they were. And they were there. They had arrived. But life in the new land, life being the people of God, was not going to be a piece of cake. Nor was it going to be a bed of roses. There might be a few roses on anniversary day and a little bit of cake on birthday. But day-to-day living among these heathen people was going to be difficult. They would be living among people who worship Baal. And they would face the constant temptation themselves to go and worship the Baal God and forget about the true and the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They would be tempted to join with the surrounding society rather than to change society. And that's what the church is accused of doing very often, and maybe rightly so. Rather than changing society as Christ calls us to do, we find ourselves joining in with society because everybody does it. I still remember, though, you know, if I'd want to do something, and my mother would say no, and I'd say, well, everybody else is doing it. And her standard answer, and probably yours too, well, if they went to jump in the river, would you do it too? I couldn't swim, and she knew I couldn't swim because she never wanted me to be able to say, yeah, I'd just swim out, see. So she refused to let me learn to swim. Finally learned real late in life. Okay, they would be tempted to join with surrounding society rather than change that society as God wanted them to be. They would be living among a people who sacrificed animals and a grain offering to Baal gods in hopes of having a better crop, or in thanksgiving, as they saw it, for a good crop. And they would forget to make the sacrifices to the true and the living God. They would be living among a people with no moral restraint. In other words, they would be living among a people that would say, if it feels good, do it. No moral restraints. No commandments to follow. And they would be so tempted, they would be so tempted to do what felt good because all the neighbors were doing just what felt good. If it feels good, do it. No moral restraints. Tempted to do likewise. Now, their responsibility, while they would live among these heathens and they would be tempted to go after them, their responsibility, and we mentioned this two Sundays ago, I believe, was to lead the heathen to know God and to worship God. But they got mixed up with these people, and there was that temptation to forget about God and go off and do as the world was doing. Is there any relationship to us and them? Can you see it today? They were going to face a difficult task, just like we face. You know, Christians have the same difficulty, do we not? The saved are called to live like saved people. They're called to be Christian, be what we have become. Sometimes we think or we act like, the world acts like, the church world acts like, all we've got to do is be saved and everything's okay. But the saved are called to live a particular way. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Our call to worship this morning, the King James Version, I rememberized that one. You can read it there in your bulletin, though. It says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. And maybe I need to not try to depend on myself to remember now. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. That's what Paul called on the Roman Christians to do. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Have a change of mind about these things. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. We sing that song about heaven came down and glory filled my soul. I kind of referred to that earlier, that experience. When we got saved, it was a happy, joyous, glorious experience. But 5 days later, when Satan started tempting us and pulling us away, and the world started pulling us away, did we still feel like we were Christians? Some of us said, I'm not sure I was saved. Not sure I was saved. We begin to doubt God's Word and doubt the power of God to save us. Doubt ourselves. But the call is to, after that experience, live for Jesus. Our trust. We like to talk a lot about trusting Jesus for salvation, but He also calls on us to obey. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So Joshua calls the people together. They were at Shechem between Mount Gerizim, the mountain of blessing, and Mount Ebal, the mount of cursings. And he says, will you serve God, the Baal gods? Will you serve the Baal gods, or will you serve the gods your parents served back in Egypt or in the wilderness? Or will you serve God? And he said, folks, you got to make a choice. You got to make a choice. And the people responded, but we'll serve God. We'll serve the true and the living God. They even said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up out of the house of slavery. He protected us all along the way. Joshua says to them, though, you cannot serve the Lord. He's a holy God. Do you know what you're committing to? No, one of my problems has been, and I say it as a problem, when I try to witness to somebody to trust Jesus as their Savior and Lord, we get to a certain point, and if they're ready, I want to say, now are you sure? Make sure you know what you're getting into. Others say, yeah, go ahead and commit. But every time I've tried to get somebody to commit, they'll back off and say, you can't push me. So somehow, I'm hesitant to ask them to sign on the dotted line, so to speak, because I want them to really know what they're doing, getting into. And here, I think I'm patterning my experience after that of Joshua here. Joshua says, God's holy. Do you know what you're getting into? Do you know what you're committing to? And the congregation responds, no, we will serve the Lord. We won't serve those other gods. And Joshua says to them, you're witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve Him. And the congregation says, we're witnesses. We know what we're doing. We want to commit to the Lord. So Joshua then responds, they convinced him, or I think he was just trying to use some psychology on them to really see if they were serious. Then incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the congregation responds, the Lord our God we will serve, and Him only we will obey. Who are we going to serve? Jesus has brought us from sin to salvation. It's illustrated, if you will, in the Lord's Supper. Think about it. From where has He brought you? Yourself. Be particular, be specific here for yourself. How far has He brought you? How far does He need to bring you? If you're not where you need to be, He'll bring you where you need to be. If you'll trust Him. But when you trust Him, will you serve Him? Will you serve Him? The song is 358. I want us to sing the first stanza
of 358. Asking that we be drawn near to God, that we might have all that we need to serve Him. And maybe there is a public renewal of a relationship with God this morning. You can call it rededication if you like. You can call it what you like. But if you need a feel a need for a public rededication, new commitment to the Lord, or maybe it would be your first time commitment. You've never committed yourself to the Lord. This altar awaits you, and I await you if you would come and make public your commitment, our new renewed commitment to the Lord. 358, first one. The ability, whatever else we need to be what we have become. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you. Thank you.
Oh,